Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to share with you on Malaysia's experience on the investigations of the outbreak in the Vaname, particularly in Peninsula and Sabah, Malaysia. In 2010, productions of aquaculture by type of culture in Malaysia was divided into four groups, which mainly come from freshwater fishes, 75%, followed by the shrimp and prawn, 13%, cockle, 10%, and last from brackish water fish, 2%. From the shrimp part, majority come from the brackish waters that cover 80%, and freshwater, 20%. Shrimp farming in Malaysia mainly was cultured in the Eden Pond, and some in the big company, they're using HDPE lining, and most of them are having intensive culture systems with more than 100 pieces of PL per meter squared. This is the map of Malaysia. As you can see here, this is the peninsula, and then we have Sabah and Sarawak here. And the dot red color representative of the major state productions of the stream. If you look at the cultured area by the term of hectares and numbers of pond and walker, not much different you can see since the year 2004 until 2010. However, in 2011, there are reducing of 156 hectares. In terms of culture, the species, we have 1994 only Morodon, and that's the main species cultured upon that time. However, we have a white spot in 1996, and upon this time, white stream was introduced in Asia Pacific, and in 2002, it was established in Malaysia. However, Morodon productions are still more than Vaname. In 2006, Vaname productions are more than Morodon. In terms of total productions, you can see here, they are keep increasing, and most of them come from the Vaname in the blue line. And not much difference in terms of productions for the Morodon. However, in year 2010, and year 2011, there are deductions. So in terms of total estimate of wholesales, you can see here there's a decline here. So up to now, in year 2011, we already lost 0.1 billion due to outbreak. In terms of the history, how EMS occurred, it started in Johor, south of Peninsula Malaysia. It was reported in December 2010 in Johor. And then you move out to Pahang. After one cycle, you move out to Pahang in March 2011, and move northern to Perak, and then you go back again to Johor, and go up again to Penang in December 2011, Kedah, May 2012, and last month in Sabah, Tawau. So in April 2011, NAFISH, National Fish Health Research Center in Malaysia, received two reports on white feces and also slow growth from the farmer in Perak. Upon that time, we don't know what is the main cause, but there is the first report that we have. So this is just to show you on the national level work on diagnostic that been carried out by NAFISH. Normal, I think each of the institutions have this, and we will report to the national authority belong to the Department of Veterinary Services if there is an OIE list. Methodology approach, we divided into three. Phase one, we just want to see either it's a disease or not. So this was taken up within this period, 3 months of study, with a specific objective, want to confirm either it's disease or not. Then once we are quite clear what is happening, then we go on the phase two, we try to look at what are the associated factors involved here. So this involves another 3 months, and then once we are a little bit more clear here, we move on to the phase three, more towards the awareness and also control measure. So type of investigations, we go for the case history just now, we go through already. This one just to show you a total productions of Vaname in the affected state. The five states that I mentioned just now with the red dot is the most affected area. And this is the productions in the year 2010, 2011, and first half of 2012. Below representing of the 2010 productions, as you can see, the most affected area is Perak, Pahang, Johor, and Kedah. And as compared with the red colour in 2011, there are reduction and further deduction in the first half of this year. In Sabah and Sarawak, the first 2 years, 2010 and 2011, they are increasing. But upon this time, there's no outbreak of EMS in these two states. We have a sample from Sabah last month, but we haven't have a sample from Sarawak yet. But we see at the total productions, they are reducing as compared for the first half of the year. Case history again. You look at the locations of the farm. We are looking at the 18 farm. And then if you look at the mortality period, it occurs as early as 20 and it can last 48. So when you look at the survival rate from each of the farm, they are very low. And you don't mention about total productions. It's not the productions they want. So most of the source of the PL are come from the hatchery, local hatchery. Some are SPF, some are unknown. Upon the times of sampling, this is the date, means that some of the prawn are surviving. Eh? This is another site that we look at it, Kedah, and recently the Sabah case. Sabah case slightly unique, whereby the DOC occur after 50 days. And you can see that the productions are higher as compared with others. But they do have some lower, but much better compared with others. Gross observations, we see this. Most of the farm that we visited, mortality, we see this. You hear a lot of this. We see these white patches at the body, abdominal area. We conducted hemolytic anti-clotting time and it shows that 80% are stress. And we do the histopath, shows these, the typical signs of EMS, early stage. See these sluggish cells of the B, F and R cells, necrosis of hepatoparenchyma. Finally, we also see the terminal stage of EMS. We also see this whereby we thought that it could be INNB. So in our PCR virology result, we do conduct all these tests. So the diagnosis result for all the locations that we investigate, bacteria, we do find the bacteria, BVO species and Protobacterium damselii. In Penang area, Penang we have one hatchery, the rest is pond. Protobacterium damselii was quite isolated cases, it only was isolated in Perak. And for virology, positive IHCNV also quite isolated cases because only found in one particular farm and the rest is all negative. On pathology-wise, we see the early and terminal stage of EMS. In the phase 2, we try to look at more detailed study on the cross-sectional study on the chemical parameters of water quality with special reference of day of culture and unionized ammonia. What we find out in one particular farm in the different of the pond at the day 20, DOC 27, 58, 56 and 138, you will find that all the ammonia and nitrate are out from the normal range. So this indicates to us that the younger of the prawn already been pre-exposed with all these higher ammonia level. And when we compare this with the 5 farm, different locations in Perak state, we also see the similar cases at the different DOC. So when we put out a camp and then we look from DOC 6, 7 until 48 days. This not on the red color. Red color indicate of the nitrate and the blue color indicate of the ammonia. You can see that in the early stage, you might not see that as higher as the later stage. In terms of plankton, we look there's a lot numbers of increasing of this. This one just to, we do also see the dinoflagellate. And in this case, most of the farm shows this type of figure. So I just show one case in Pahang. So this one just to highlight that the occurrence of dinoflagellate in Southeast Asians, this slide was given to me by Dr. Kodamo. And you can see that the red spot were increasing in year 2010 compared with 5 years before. And you see that around on the East Coast, there's also occurrence of the black color, the red color, and the green color. This is a group of the dinoflagellate that produce toxin. If you look at the diatom, the Malaysia, you also see the plus one is the one that produce toxin. So after we find out that there's high on plankton, the dinoflagellate, and also high in terms of ammonia and so on, we move on to the detections of PSP. So we use SIPKIT detection kit, and then it was analyzed by ELISA, and then later on we further analyze with HPLC. So what we do is we pull the affected prawn, we remove the gill from three prawns, pull together, and then hepatoplanchus, stomach, intestine, we group together, and the last one is muscle. And this is how the ELISA look like. This is the standard. We tested in two sites. So this is the result, all positive, with the highest concentration in the hepatoplanchus. So this is to show you that where it come from, it might be from here all, but we are not sure. And however, the detection concentration are not cause a human lethal dose. However, the presence of PSP toxin in organ indicate that the affected prawn might get it from the food web. So when we do the PSP toxin on GTS, STX, and C toxin, we did not get result for STX and C toxin, but we get the same result on GTX. This is the standard for GTX. We are using the GTX group 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And you see this is the peak that indicate of it. And this is the sample from farm 1, the blue color. And what we find is that in each of the individual pond, there is a peak. But the peak doesn't fall on the standard one. So we don't know what is it. But one thing for sure, they are consistent. The peak come up after a retention time of 3.7. In this pond, we see 3.7, so we name it as UK1, unknown 1. In this pond also, we see another peak here. And pond here, this pond also, we see UK1, this same. It's consistent. And when we go for the farm 2, this is the standard one. And we also see the consistent UK1, UK2, in each of the prawn, affected prawn from each of the pond. But we don't know what toxin is this, because it doesn't fall in the standard that the retention time of this. But then it shows the peak. Something is there. It's toxin. But we don't know what is it. So once we have a better, clear idea what is happening, what caused the mortality down there, then we give an awareness. And then this is just to show national level actions. First meeting was carried out in September. Then we conduct R&D. The R&D group consists of two groups. The group study on water quality and the group study on the disease. It was carried out in 3 months. From here, we find out there's increase of ammonia, increase of the item. There is a pathology result, and some of the affected prawn shows positive PSP. So from there, there are first meeting on NNS by the Department of Fishery, followed up by press conference. And the first meeting of the technical EMS task force was performed in 2 May 2012. Upon this time, we proposed a budget 70K US. Unfortunately, until now, we did not get this. And follow up from this, there's an awareness program of EMS focusing on the pond preparations, the importance of it, and then stocking density, reduce of stocking density, and also farm management. This is the only advice that we can give a farmer upon the times, based on our result. So after this period, then there's another sitting for the meeting, 19 June, for the technical MMS meeting. Then we propose another detailed study on HDPE, lining import and application of biofloc. This contingency plan was, we already have this, but we try to fix this EMS thing inside here. Okay. So at the National Advisory Committee, we call higher institution, but none have come up. So we have only the Department of Fishery and the stakeholder. And upon this time, we decided that we need to inform the national authority at February 2012. We did not carry out this. And this is the action that has been taken. So at the national level of penology, after Vernamé was introduced in Malaysia in 2002, we never conduct any of the penology study. So if we conduct, maybe we have some information there. But unfortunately, we don't have. Epidemiology study based on the reported case and R&D only carry out after the phase 3. So here, I'm reporting on the applications of the fermentation, activated carbon, fish tonic. Because we don't have a budget, so this is based on volunteer basis from the farmer. And then, so epidemiological study on applications of the fermentations and activated carbon. In Perak State, Company 1, we start with activated carbon, AC. They have two ponds, stocking density 125 and 110, with a mortality, we want to see either there's any mortality occur in date within this period. Yes, it occur with the DOC 26, with a percentage of mortality 15%. But however, until to DOC 95, the owner decided want to harvest it, so the survival rate was 60%. However, for the pond 2, it's still ongoing. So what we do in the diagnostic part, we just focus on histology. We take the sample for DOC 20, DOC 40, 60, and 80. DOC 20 and 40, we did not see of the, you know, the early stage and the final stage of EMS. So there's no EMS here. However, we haven't get the result for DOC 60. And the farmer do some BVO count on the water. Yes, they reduce the BVO count on the water for this case. And then this company also volunteer doing on fermentation. They have two ponds also, and it's still ongoing. Histology-wise, on DOC 20, 40, we did not see any EMS, and it's still ongoing. Company 2, using fish tonic. So we decided to do a proper study. So we request for three, and then the company volunteer to do that. And yesterday was day 20. Yesterday was day 20. And so far, the control farm are having problems now. The FT don't have any problem. I just received the email this morning. So the DOC on the analyzing, we look at the pathology. We look at the virology also using IQ+. But we also do IHHNV using primer 389. And then bacteriology using hemolin. We also look at water quality and plankton. So this is still ongoing now. Company 3, applications of tripotent and OTC. So this company are using tripotent. Tripotent basically is beta defense. Okay. OTC, tripotent was introduced in day 1 until day 50. And then OTC was only applied within this DOC, 15 to 20. And their recorded mortality on DOC 36 with 50% of mortality. They're still ongoing. They did not harvest the thing. For tripotent, it's still ongoing. No mortality was reported within this period. And what we do on the diagnostic part, we take sample for histology. Virology, they do INNV and white spot for the using IQ class. So beside application of fermentation, activated carbon, and fish tonic, there are also movements of the applications of using HDPE as a lining, pond lining in Selangor. This was particularly on the smaller farm because a bigger farm have no problems on budget. And there are applications of better defense, but I did not include here because we did not look at the histology slide. So in this one, they just mentioned the survival rate and the total production. So we did not include here. But there is ongoing in Malaysia. International collaboration to solve the problems. There are some awareness given by the private company. In Malaysia, you know, Department of Fishery is the last person to know what's happening. So it's always the person who's selling the feed, drug, will get know the thing first. So normally, you will see the awareness given by them first. But it's a very good sign because the awareness was there. So we'd like to thank Dr. Laina also for this because of his confirmations. And this Japanese, Professor Kadamo and Dr. Takata for the confirmation of policy by HPLC. What we have been learned, lesson learned, a lot. Experience gained also a lot. But what one thing for sure, there is a mortality occur within this period, 20 up to 40, and 50 up more than 50. But then 40 above. But then all these signs are quite similar in all the places we check on fiber. And then we also see all this. And then presumptive diagnosis is this. But for this, we don't know. Is it just slow death or EMS? We don't know. So in phase two, we eliminate the nitrate, but we did not remove the ammonia impact on the associated factors. The toxin also, we did not remove the microorganism, such as bacteria. The feed also, because I don't know, because feed, maybe, you know, it might produce something might be go there due to our weather. Okay, our weather, fluctuate weather, so it can cause fungus growth. But we did not go detail in this. Maybe after this, we will go detail on this. Diatom and the non-flagellate. In conclusions, this is what, based on our observations, DOC0 are more than DOC40. Actually, farmers start do observations of DOC20. So we expect there might be happen earlier than that. But they do notice that there's a white feces, and it occur. The first thing they see is white feces. Okay, it will occur 3 to 5 days. Within this time, you will see reductions of 50%. And upon this time also, you see the swollen small hepatobranchius. And you will see mortality 20 to 40 DOC after that, with a mortality rate 50 to 60%. After that, the remaining prawn will survive, but they show one, the white feces. They also show this, and they also show stunted growth and followed by slow death. So what we have learned is, if the farmer did not impose any of measure within this period, it will affect their survival rate drastically. So the imposed measure should be taken up within this period. For example, for white feces, some of the farmer applying iodine. When they apply iodine, what they see is the whole pond was full with this. So he thought that it might be kill all of them. But 2 days later, the prawn start eating. So I don't know, because we haven't really looked detail of it. This is what farmers say, and this is what they've been introducing in the pond. So it might work, it might not work, but we don't know. And then in conclusion also, we like to say that there is an associated factors of the outbreak. 50 to 100% of the prawn were under stress using the anti-hemolin. And this, we try to explain in a way that the shorter the OC or smaller prawn exposed to the higher ammonia level for long term would not be able to tolerate such stress. And this will reduce the immunity in the prawn. And we also found that the affected stream are positive with PSP toxin. But we don't know where the toxin comes from. Okay? But there is a toxin. And this toxin, in the pond dynamic, it might come from the microorganism. The microorganisms are like bacteria or toxin detected in some organism eating the dinoflagellate, but did not digest it. It could become from the feed, mycotoxic, due to the, our environment, our temperature, our tropical temperature. So it could be one of it. It could be come from the diatom and dinoflagellate due to the phenomena now keep increasing. The one way forward. What we hope is the competent authority should have more control on the introductions of the super growth or higher achievement stock. Epinology study on the cultured stream should be an active program and should be consistent by the OF and be more precautious in using probiotic. A lot of report on this. We don't know who's right, who's wrong. Awareness among the fishery officers at the state level will indeed will help a farmer directly and also a diagnostic center whereby it provides the first-hand information. So first-hand information is very important. Awareness given to the target group will also create a proactive response to improve the reporting and R&D work. Because now in Malaysia, people are moving from Vaname to Morodon and also to Mangrensis. So it might give us a cross-infection between species. So if the awareness are there, farmers are away, so it might reduce some of this. Collaboration, yes, we are looking forward for it. I would like to thank these farm managers and NACA and the AFF for the traveling. And with that, I end my presentation. Thank you.